Welcome to Weekly Open. I'm Brian. We've got Don and Cred both on the line today. First, let me tell you about our partners over at FTX. Go to weeklyopen.com/FTX. You can trade there today. Super easy. Whether you go web interface, app interface, you can even trade stocks on FTX USA if you've capitulated on all your crypto. Weeklyopen.com/FTX. Thanks to them for being our partners, and thanks to you for being here with us today. Let's get to the show. Don, you are on the left. How you doing?
Good, good. I mean, it's been a beautiful weekend, so I cannot complain. Price action-wise, it's been a little bit boring, but I mean, it's good when you're out and nothing happens, I think.
So. Yeah, Craig, what's up, man?
Yeah, not much. I think I might as well keep saying big week or volatility incoming until it happens. It might be months of that type of commentary, but you know, I think we're getting there. Famous last words, but you know, by all measures, vol is like so compressed, and yeah, hopefully we have different prices to talk about either this episode or in the next one or sooner rather than later, because I'm tired of talking about like 1920 and that's it, end of conversation, you know. How are you, Ledger?
I'm doing well, thanks for asking. Is it weird that a 1.5% move this morning feels big to me?
It is for me as well. I felt the same way, actually. I was like, I bought before CPI, and then I basically came back from a weekend, and I was like, okay, it's not necessarily what I wanted to see. And then I closed and I saw like Bitcoin go up. I was like, ah, shit. And I checked the percentage. I was like, oh, that actually didn't move.
It's 2%. Yeah. It's irrelevant.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a real thing, right? There's like a recency bias that comes with volatility. So if you're used to trading like 0.5 to 1% ranges, you see a 1%, like a 2% move, and you think, oh my God, this is like huge. Whereas in absolute terms, like in relative terms and absolute terms, big difference when it comes to like the style of trading and your expectations. So in relative terms, yeah, if you just look at the candles, you're like, whoa, this is an outsized move. And then you look in absolute terms, you know, I think we're up less than the S&P or something like that. And in general, price is still kind of ping ponging. So there's definitely a recency bias when it comes to like vol expectations and the size of rotation expectations. And that's what gets you blown out eventually, right? Because you're used to fading like really small moves, because you're used to, you know, that works for like weeks and months. And then the one time it doesn't work, you're like, oh, I get an extra good entry. And you don't realize that it's shifted from that 0.5 to 2% vol regime, and you get like a 5, 10, 15% candle, and out you go on the stretcher.
Man, I did not realize that the legacy markets were up more than ours. That's pretty depressing.
Yep. Basically, well, it's basically the reason why I closed. I was like, I mean, the thing is, everything was kind of like feeling very squeezy-ish on Friday, before and after CPI. Like, you just got, like, I don't know, like, the entire positions that I could see would just be, like, people are just bear-tarding, basically. And then the traditional markets closed, and I was like, okay, this weekend is either going to be sideways or up. So I felt pretty fine with leaving the market alone. And then I come back, and you can see this on the lower time frames. Basically, what happened was we went sideways. Like, there was nothing crypto specific going on, right? And today's move is basically just the S&P moving, just a little bit weaker, which is just, I don't know. It's not necessarily what I want to be trading, right? You want to be trading when crypto is outperforming, or when you have like a good reason to bet on crypto. Right now, I don't really feel like that's the case.
Well, thank God these early week moves never revert back to the weekly open, right? Yeah. That never happens. So I'm really, really pleased with that.
Yeah, I was about to say the Dixie's down 0.75%. And I was going to say, should we talk crypto before we dig into legacy? But Don, you kind of prevented that from being the point, because we're not relevant at the same time that legacy stuff is actually doing things. But yeah, the Dixie's down 0.7-something%, and at the same time, like, it's not even really to any real mean reversion levels. So it's just getting started, if it's a true downswing, but it's not actually showing any proof that it's a downswing at the moment.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know, fading dollar, both technically and structurally, is tricky. And I just kind of don't get why you'd pay like too much attention to it. Like maybe if you get an obvious parabola break, you can be like, oh, there's something real cooking here. But given how technically the risk indices have been trading, the S&P and NASDAQ specifically, and we've seen they've sort of been leading or more volatile or just more important than sort of crypto in itself, I think if you're going to take your cues from legacy world, just looking at the S&P and the NASDAQ is probably like one of the better ways of going about it, because you know they're pretty liquid and traded and the basic stuff works, as we've discussed at length. I think dollar is nice confluence, but I'd want like a really clear signal from dollar index as confluence to start caring about it, like some real breakdown with or like an obvious parabola type of shift or something like that, because you know trying to step in front of this thing, thus far at least, has been out of, you know, death sentence pretty much.
Not to get you too excited, Cred, but I just added a parabola to my Dixie mini parabolas chart.
Let's go. You're collecting them like Pokemon at this point, mate. Like you've got
Yeah,
so many.
it like breaks down from one. The daily one, oh, it just ran past it. The weekly one, oh, it broke out and then went much higher. So here we go. New one. Several touch points, a lot of touch points. So, you know, should be fine. I don't know what to make of it, but. It's yeah, see, this is the tall weekly one that we broke out of that was the definitely the bottom type of parabola that wasn't the bottom. You can't even it's like goes backwards trying to do weekly parabolas now. Can't even make it I cannot even get it to function. I mean it which is probably a sign, right? Surely? Maybe?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's just impossible to guess, right? I wouldn't want to, and you
Yeah,
don't have
same.
to, right? That's the cool thing. You don't have to. You can just chill, give it room, give it time. Low time frame wise, I mean, this could pull back a little, right?
Yeah, it looks pretty dumpy on a low time frame.
Like this looks like as much as a meme on meme patterns. I mean, they oftentimes play at least to where you're technically supposed to be trading them, right? Because like patterns, head and shoulders, all that kind of stuff. You're
What's that, like
supposed to be
110?
trading like here, like it breaks down and you're supposed to be like measuring the move, whatever. That almost never works in my experience. But oftentimes you get like when you get the setup and you can kind of see it forming, you get it towards the point where the pattern at least looks like the pattern it's supposed to look, right? So could see it do something like this and actually come back up
You get it
again.
just far enough to get Peter Brandt horny, and then you reverse it. That's how these
Exactly.
patterns
Have
work,
y'all
right?
seen Peter
It's
Brandt saying like GM and stuff in the morning?
so bad. Yeah,
I love it. I think it's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he's being for real or like did Peter Brandt sell his account? I'm not
Yeah,
sure.
for 2 packs of beef jerky, maybe. If you know, you know.
Yeah, that was good. Holy crap.
Ledger, that 200-week moving average on the S&P, that's cooking something, right? That seems to be just about the only bullish. Like, if you want to make a complete compelling bullish case, like right now as it is, Don's got the FUD version of the chart where it kind of just bounced from that cluster of support into resistance. The copium hope optimistic version of the chart is more akin to yours, where you've got like ton of put buying and very skewed positioning and doom posting, etc., into the 200-week. Looks like we had an extension through it and now sort of opening the week more above
Yeah,
it. Is that sort of the base case?
this is your fourth week of what defense of the line, and the question is, can the bulls hold it, right? It's never great if it's kind of a line in the sand, and then you test it 4 times. But if you know, you could have some kind of grindy move up, and yeah, it could be something. If it's a permanent bottom, I don't know. It's really hard to imagine you just grind along a line for 4, 5, 6 weeks that's supposed to be your, you know, very, very long-term supports, and then don't at least go back and retest it. Maybe, and then if that's a fast touch, then maybe you can try to call some bottoms. But yeah, as a place, as a thing that exists, it's looks all right. Now, if you go back to the two major recessions that we had, interestingly, back in 01, it didn't really spend much time with it and then tried to recapture it and failed it again. But in early 2008, it touched it twice and got a pretty sustained bounce off of it before it lost it and then treated it as resistance. And then when the market finally recovered, treated it as strong resistance again in 2010 before finally kind of recapturing it in 2010, 2011. But yeah, it's a data point.
you've got the FUD version of that chart, right? As far as the S&P goes on the monthly. Like the bounce is good. And I was getting really excited over it because I was looking at like low time frames. But then as far as where it ended up, it's back at the monthly cluster. It's kind of sandwiched, right? Between the monthly cluster of fresh support and then the cluster of resistance. Is that right?
Yeah. If I was looking at this from like a combination of weekly long-term, like weekly long moving averages and monthly short moving averages, I'd be looking at this 20 month, right? The Bollinger Band midline type of thing. Cause these bull markets really did ride that as support. And I'd honestly for saying, oh, new highs inbound, you'd almost want that recovered, right? Like a flip of that faster moving average. It's hard to look at this 200 month unless it's anything but just like long-term recessionary level support. This is your, you know, back to 2015, 2016 levels horizontally, and also a 200 month moving average. Maybe you would treat that as some kind of, okay, recession is the thing now, and that's where I might buy. But that's not necessarily relevant until, if you're trying to do a moving average type strategy, until you're actually in no man's land, right? Like in this cluster, you spend a lot of time in this cluster. It's clear that 2018 levels are not really providing you much. So what do you go to? And maybe then you try to look at those even longer term moving averages. I don't know. The 200 week is the one that I always would just say is like kind of your end all be all. Use it as support. And if it's probably some form of capitulation or long-term recession, if you're well below it, but it's any of these tools, in my opinion, are difficult to use in total isolation. Even if I value them. Does that make any sense, or am I just, does that sound like cope?
No, it does make sense. It does. I can quickly share the
S&P please do
chart. Let me make sure I get the right tab, otherwise this show's getting...
Man, that is a engulfing daily there, Don.
Is that an engulfing daily, or just happen to see me, Don? Anyway. so these are kind of levels I was pointing towards as far as where we're sandwiched on the monthly. If you kind of zoom in, you can see that this kind of double cluster, I mean, I've just got the highest close and the lowest close, and the lowest close also lines up with the pre-COVID high, whatever thing, closer to like 3,300. But in terms of the upper boundary of this retest area, you could see on the weekly as well, it's just one of those sort of bread and buttery double tops here, or previous range high that then broke out. And we sort of retraced a lot of this. Like, you know, I like to say that support is built horizontally, not diagonally. So it's not terribly surprising to see like this type of price action get retraced. That's what you want to see. And then the market trading to more kind of clustered areas of price action. But in terms of the levels as they've ended up now, the monthly bounce, the move into monthly support caused a nice bounce. That was the Pico bottom, and then crypto bounced there as well. But it's currently ended up pretty much back where it came from, right? Into resistance made up of this previous monthly cluster and the last lowest close before the breakdown. So we're currently sandwiched between that 3,500 support and 3,700 resistance, at least on the monthly time frame. And then whichever close you get through the boundary will be indicative. Maybe we just chop here for a while before deciding. But I think the first kind of real high time frame bullish signal, because this trend has been just very clean technically the entire way down, right? It's been a downtrend, you know, as much of a downtrend as you'd like. So the first evidence of, you know, broken support not turning to resistance or some sort of failed breakdown or some sort of reclaim would be trading back above 3,700, 3,760-ish and staying there. Be that on the monthly, if you want to play it safe as far as candle closes, or if you want to be a bit aggressive and front run it, you want it at least on the weekly time frame. And there's a lot of confluence between the two. Unsurprisingly, you can see that monthly level on the weekly is just like a very clear pivot as well. So anything above there, you can at least start to say, hey, we've been downtrending since forever.
Something's
and this is the
different.
First sign of, yeah, this, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's like a shift in behavior. And even then, I think you have to treat it quite technically. At least I would. My targets wouldn't be massive. I would just sort of treat it as a move back within the range and kind of look at this pre-breakdown structure. You know, the midpoint coming in at pretty much 4K round number, and then maybe all the way up to 4,100, 4,200. But as far as where we are right now for this week, given this is a weekly show, it seems like we're in ping pong land, right? Strong support reacted, resistance reacted, no real structural changes yet. And we have a nice sort of early week rally to observe, so to speak.
What you thinking, Don? You were quiet there for a second. I didn't know if you were muted or dead.
No, I was actually muted. I totally agree, actually. I think it's basically a toss-up. And, I mean, it's a toss-up on the S&P, right? Because it's between support and resistance. But it's very clear that Bitcoin, at least, doesn't want to play ball, to me anyway. Like, it seems weaker, has been. And it didn't kind of, like, show any strength while the markets were closed. So for me, it's kind of, if I wanted to play something, if I wanted to take the chance, I'd take it on the S&P. And ignore Bitcoin or ignore the cryptos, basically.
How depressing. Unless,
yeah, and I mean, that's just not what you want to have, right? When you're trading an asset class that is much, much more risky in general than the S&P, and then you get outperformed on the up moves, this is just shit, right? Correlation sky high, and then you get outperformed every single time. It could obviously change at some point, but until it does, I'm just going to be a little bit more relaxed in looking for setups, let's say that way, because it's tiresome, really, when you have like a really good setup on the S&P and then it plays out and crypto doesn't play ball. So for me, and this is something you can even see on the lower time frames right now, like if you go through these and you just kind of compare them on the lower time frames, you can see the relative weakness. And yeah, for me, that just doesn't make much sense. So toss up between like up or down on the S&P. I could see it go either way. Like support's really strong, like Kret said it. Resistance really strong. But if that doesn't translate to our market, I mean, what are we doing, right? Just makes the odds worse trading it, in my opinion.
Just me or the Nasdaq look worse?
Oh, the Nasdaq looks...
Open question. Because, you know, closed below that cluster, as we discussed on the show, rallied into the midpoint of that same range. And at the moment, it seems to be right on the underside of that 11.1K level. And same consideration applies, right? This whole thing's been trending down, yada, yada. If you finally get a reclaim, you can write home about and at least expect the move or trading back within the consolidation, right? If this ends up being a failed breakout or failed break in one case or another, and you get weekly acceptance back above the lower boundary 11.1, you can reasonably go to 11.6, 12.1, and maybe we spend some time here. And obviously the bullish scenario is reclaiming the range high, and then maybe we do some cool stuff. But, you know, one step at a time. I think both S&P and NASDAQ are kind of in that tricky underside area where I have no setup that allows me to chase the underside of this, especially so early in the week. Maybe kind of several daily candles or some sort of like middle of the week acceptance back inside the boundary is fine for me. But kind of where it is right now, what am I going to do? Just long this and put a stop on the low of the week and hope that it reclaims and then goes to the midpoint or the range high or whatever. That's not in my trading toolkit. Yeah. So
for what it's worth, the moving averages agree with you completely if you're trying to do that multi-analysis. Because the NASDAQ's underneath the same moving averages that the S&P is above. I think there's just generally here an appetite for a lack of appetite for growth, right? And that's one of the biggest outcomes we've had through this whole market meltdown, correction, whatever you want to call it, is people are looking at things that have been pretty insane for a long time and recognizing them as insane. You know, your large price to sales or lack of profits in public companies and, you know, corrections on those multiples that are outsized corrections to, yield generating businesses, the ones that have profits and dividends and all those things. And that, it kind of makes sense in a stagflationary environment, makes sense in an environment where you are seeking yield and where you're worried about growth. All of it is very logical. Now, if you get one of these big rubber band bounces, could you have growth outperform again? Yeah, absolutely. I saw ARK is up like 6 or 7% today, for example. But on the downside, I feel like those are getting hammered much harder.
You can barely see the bounces, right?
Like, yeah, and maybe crypto is getting lumped into that, right? The growth concept.
Yeah, I would make sense to me, honestly. I've talked about this before, where I feel like the kind of just trading as a job, or like everyone's just gambling on something, is slowing down or is going to stop and is going to top. And I think until we have digested that, which basically just means you need to chop all the people that are still trying to make it by trading up until they don't have anything left. We've done this in crypto a million times before, where it's just a year or two of brutal downward sideways. Sometimes you get a big pump, but it's full retrace, that kind of thing. It feels like we're going to get that in the traditional markets. We're going to get that in almost any market, really, because retail just has developed this huge appetite for trading, right? And they're in a position now where they're so deep underwater that they have to make hard choices. And I think that's going to lead to like a bunch of selling pressure, or like in general, just people trying to unwind positions or just like get wrecked one way or the other. And that doesn't really make for the cleanest trading environment, because what you want to have, if you, especially when you're trading crypto, right, is a bunch of retail coming in. That's going to make it really, really easy for you to just kind of jump from altcoin to altcoin, like get the pumps. And it's been the same with like stuff like GME or AMC, where a bunch of people just piled in, it mega pumped. And now they're realizing, okay, there's not that much to sell into. And so I think we're kind of in that situation now where we're just churning through people. People get wrecked left and right. And as long as you keep your money, you're kind of doing okay.
Did y'all see the stuff about Buffett's outperformance and all that, and like the revenge of Buffett? It's like, oh, he's down 6%. He's doing great.
Yeah, yep.
Because it's relative to everybody else down like 30, 40%, whatever. Some of these individual growth entities like ARK that Cred is still blessing us with, 60, 70%, something off the top. So
yeah, that's quite a chart, eh?
It is quite.
But hey, if it's going to bounce anywhere, this is the spot, right? Because otherwise it just retraces to zero. I mean, purely technically, it kind of has to be, right? It's kind of the bottom of the range, the, you know, basic eye test in terms of support, so to speak, or where the range is.
It's at here, least the extremity. At least monthly, I need Cred to say below here, it's lights out.
Yeah, because otherwise it's just going to fill in all of this. Yeah. And then, you know, it goes to zero. So if you know, this is do or die, big week ahead, all that type of good stuff.
Reminds, but I mean, look at this chart, right?
I mean, what is this? What are we doing?
At it looks least, like Solana.
One thing that makes me happy is that, you know how the boomers used to be like, oh, crypto's too volatile, you shouldn't trade that type of stuff. Well, you know, after this year, that argument seems to be difficult to support, depending on your look back period, et cetera, et cetera. Like, look, hey, man, everything's a shitcoin at the end of the day. So I wouldn't, you could at least rule out asset classes with less confidence than before, because of the moves in bonds, the moves in stocks, indices, whatever. It's like everything's volatile. So, you know, which casino do you want to play in at the end of the day?
Yeah, there's no difference between what you just showed and this, basically, from a percentage perspective. So, yeah, I agree. Don, do you want to, in this, I mean, your below here is lights out thing just made me, it made me think of this, because where do you go? Where do you go below $30 for Solana?
15. Yeah, I love it at 15.
It's a journey.
There's a red candle there. That's a big level.
Exactly. I mean, it depends on how it gets there, right? With all of these coins, really. Like, if it gets to 15 in one big candle, that you might even be buying like while it's actually happening, there's a chance it just wicks and you're very happy. If it just grinds down there, it gets really scary, because then like, what's the next level below 15, right? I mean, there's just nothing.
Four.
But that's, yeah, basically. But that's just in general though, right? Where you buy these levels and then you pray to God. And oftentimes if you buy the level the first time around, you're gonna be able to sell higher. It's just a question of how much higher. Like, do you have to sell into the first bounce? Do you have to sell into like the new bull run? That is like a big question that you're going to have to answer. But if you buy a level like the third or fourth or fifth time, it's a little bit of a different story, because then there's a chance it breaks. And then if the next level is really far away, like conveniently with Bitcoin right now, where we're sitting on 20K, we've tested it a million times, then it gets really scary, right? And that's why I think it makes sense to be a little bit on the defensive side of things, because I mean, I can count this on the lower time frames, but I can also just count it on the high time frames. You've got like one or two tests here. You've got another one here. You've been grinding here for ages now. So like, even if you're super, super, you're saying, okay, this is just like, just free tests, which is very, very conservative. Do you really want to buy the third or fourth or fifth test? I don't want to. I mean, I've been dabbling in and out. I've been kind of testing the market and just not finding what I want. But yeah, and then the question becomes, where do you buy next, right? If this is the level and it's just the level to have because it's one cycle, it's this previous cycle high. And two, it's kind of the last support we have before 12 to 14K levels. I mean, what do you do? And for me, and we've talked about this for a while now, if you kind of lose this and come back up, starts looking really good. We've done that before. It's kind of like the 6K playbook, just in a little bit of a smaller fashion. That's kind of okay. If you go to support, I'm going to buy it as well. But until either of those happens or until we get a momentum trade through like 21K, it's really, really tough to be getting excited, right? Any buy that I do, I always have to justify against my TA because my TA is telling me this support's been tested too many times. We're still showing relative weakness to other markets. We are trading on this and people are just kind of very, very complacent, I think. Like everything tells me that I should not be involved around this, just looking at the charts. So, I mean, I'm just not. Then again, every now and then, it's just kind of like crypto, right? You want to have, like, I want to own it. Yeah, you want to own it. And then you have like these, like you see a little bit of strength and you're like, oh yes, this is it. And then you buy and it goes up 2% or 3% and it disappoints you again. And that's kind of been the story of the last few weeks to me anyway. So for me, the area we're trading in right now is actually resistance. Like this box is basically red. The only reason why it's green is because it kind of feels nice to have something green.
No, don't do it.
But the top of the box is resistance until, I mean, honestly, until 21K is kind of reclaimed. So that's what I'm looking for. I want to see 21K be reclaimed. Then we start looking pretty good. I think that's like a really good squeeze setup to have to play to the upside. But if we don't get it, I'm going to be waiting lower. Like I'm looking for 16, 15, maybe 14K.
Can I show you something that's pretty incredible and honestly a situation some of our listeners might be in? Because, you know, we talk a lot about majors, but we don't really dig in too frequently in terms of how bad is the rest. And yeah, I was just clicking through a couple of things, trying to figure out, you know, what are some of the previously hyped up altcoins that just went ballistic. And this is a fun lesson in log versus linear because
fun. Mate, historians will look at this chart as the precursor to the Philippine Civil War. And then
it's about to get worse. It's about to get worse when I press this button. Looks pretty bottomed, right? In linear, how much worse could it possibly get?
It looks like what you'd expect from Delphi tokenomics, right?
Yeah. And then you get to the log chart again, and it looks like it's still, you know, down 90% before it goes down 90% is kind of what this strikes me as, to be honest. Yeah. And there's like Axie maximalists out there somewhere who are thinking that it could not get worse.
Is anyone even still like using?
Well, that's partly what got this made this interesting to me is who wants to own Axie, you know, other than somebody stuck on the whatever narrative it had when it went so hard.
I think that's the one lesson that everyone that has been in crypto and in altcoins for a few years learns. It's basically like no matter how good you think something is, it just takes 3 months of bad price action to completely destroy your faith in that particular thing. And the thing that looks really great and the game that looks great, the moment prices go down, it's very much not great anymore. There's something you're going to see every time, like every single cycle, people think this is it, and it's never it.
Are there any coins outside of Bitcoin and Ethereum that you feel like with upside potential that you're interested in? Either of you?
I mean, Don was clicking around at XRP here and there in certain mm-hmm. opportune spots. I can understand that much. For me, I just don't see it yet. Like, I'm looking at my watch list. I just don't really care about any of this. I don't know. Just it seems contrived, but my days end up with mostly BTC, ETH, S&P, NASDAQ. There are things I want to own in general when I want to tag on a lot of risk and hold it. But that tends to be like really early sort of cycle narrative coins, like exchange coins or like maybe a couple of the layer ones, whatever. But as far as just like owning stuff right now or like having an active altcoin trading watch list, I mean, you're either deep in the weeds looking at like stuff that's only listed on Binance and, you know, big movers of the day and trying to find like some sort of trend. Or as far as the big boys go, or even just sectorally, there are no narratives at the moment. No one cares, right? It's just all about like the majors, macro, and all these big things which don't allow for crypto to outperform sectorally, don't allow for much dispersion in the sector. There isn't just a lot of hype, enthusiasm, etc. So everyone's like trading the S&P, and the best way to express that for the most part has been via the majors. And we used to have at least little windows where we could carve out specific altcoin action, like on the weekends, oh, legacy casinos closed, we can see what kind of crypto flows are like. We don't even have those anymore, right? So I've got names in the back of my head, you know, just in the classics, like, you know, Sol, BNB, FTT, whatever, stuff like that. You know, maybe a couple of the DeFi 1.0 coins that potentially aren't going to zero. But beyond that, both sectorally and narratively, individually, I just don't see the scope for kind of sustained altcoin interest, be it narratively or price-wise, trend-wise, or anything of the sort. Maybe I'm just too cynical or boomerish.
I mean, from my point of view, just looking at what I said earlier with, okay, trading in general is kind of slowing down, that's basically really, really bad for altcoins, right? I mean, they're like, altcoins do really well when the market gets a lot of new people and people just are looking for the new best thing. So I think it's really, really tough to trade altcoins in that environment. So I wouldn't hold anything too long. Still think, I mean, just looking at XRP, still a good looking chart against Bitcoin. There's a few charts that look good to me against Bitcoin.
Oscar in the chat brought one of them up that looks good to me, which is ENS. He mm-hmm. also said sushi, so maybe the horse was bullish. Don't know.
yeah, jeez. The fact that that was like very price sensitive shows you all you need to know about the current state of the market.
Yeah,
and
I think
what qualifies as a narrative.
A sign of liquidity, right?
Yeah.
It's just like just the fact that it was talked about makes people pay attention, and liquidity is so bad that, yeah, anyway. I had talked about ENS when it was in this consolidation. It moved up from that. And it still looks fairly constructive, you know, like this is the type of thing that if you feel like largely there's a bottom, this looks strong. Also the ENS activity that exists in the world is pretty high. Yeah. So I agree with that one. I'm not sure elsewhere.
Cred, do you even trade? Question mark. You seem never find a good setup. Only this looks blah, blah, blah. I'm not taking it. Been hearing this forever. :D, which is a smiley face. I mean, I poke at the market intraday from time to time. Not as much in the last kind of 3-4 weeks, but before that I do. I just didn't tweet about it. And also, just like from a higher time frame perspective, I mean, do you even trade? The trade I took was dumping everything at the end of last year and then enjoying this year as everyone got obliterated. That's
really
been a pretty good trade.
Really nice trade. I wish I would have made that trade.
Yeah. So as far as like, I understand the criticism, but you know, with vol compression and as someone who likes kind of higher time frame things and swing trading and really what I think are good entries and holding them and, you know, that type of stuff. I mean, my system, especially on the long side, my system hasn't generated many of those. And, you know, even if I were to market, rebuy all of my coins compared to where I sold them in like whatever, November, December, that would be like an amazing trade in itself. So it's just a very bizarre framework where every couple of weeks or so, I have to justify missing one of the biggest drawdown bear markets, wealth destruction events ever. because I took care of it at the end of last year, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just salty.
No, I love it, dude. It's every time the same story too. Like, do you even trade when you're not like, I mean, just look at the fucking charts, dudes. Like
not being in a trade.
It's down 90%.
Not trading is a trade. It's a trade, yeah. I wish I would have made. They could probably keep going with that poem, but yeah, somebody mentioned Doge and Doge BTC. I can't really care any less about Doge BTC yet.
How dare you?
Sorry. but I just keep looking at it like this has to go back to a penny.
It does. Oh, mate, a penny.
A penny. Also, by the way, have y'all seen these? This is in TradingView. They put this new thing on there. They have a dinosaur at the beginning of the chart. You made your way all the way through the data. It's a nice little touch.
Anyone have an update on Dogecoin Millionaire? I mean, he's probably not a millionaire anymore. Maybe it's a bottom signal when he's like sucking dick for crack in some back alley. It's like, okay, I'll like buy a bit here.
Wow.
Kind of use his life to time your entries, you know?
I mean,
that's dark, Cred. That's dark.
This is very dark.
Hey, we've all been there, right?
Can't say I have.
Oh, God. I think he flashed his portfolio like a couple of weeks or months ago and was still like 600K or something. I don't think it's too bad. But then again, the guy made a bunch of money promoting shitcoins with his YouTube fame, right? So I'm sure he made his money back. I don't think he's too bad in that regard. Didn't make it obviously with trading because, I mean, just got to listen to him for 1 second and you know that that's not where his money comes from. But yeah, I mean, Dogecoin, just talking about like what you just looked at, Dogecoin really does look like it wants to go back there. Like a penny just kind of looks really neat.
Can we spend a moment accepting the fact that Internet Computer Coin traded for $632 on Coinbase.com? And is now $5. What?
I can never disrespect that coin because I'm so enamored with the name Internet Computer for a cryptocurrency. It's just so good. It's like, what two words can we put together that don't mean anything but sound like very smart and very tech and very crypto? And they just chose the two like biggest words, Internet and Computer. It's like, well, everyone likes the internet and people have computers, internet computer. Oh, and it's a protocol because that's what smart people build. And voila, you know, that's how you go from whatever 600 to where it is now.
Okay, I had to scroll back on the hourly just to find out, like, how long did it spend there? And granted, it listed there, so, but then it went down. But it got back to $485 in a liquid way just hours later. So someone could have sold their coins for $485 and now $5. That's rough.
I mean, there was a time where you could sell one YFI for almost 100,000 and then it traded all the way down to 4. So
yeah. You know, I actually was in a round trip to trade from like 30K to 90 and back. Because I was like, it's going to hit 100. It like got to 90, so I didn't sell. Forgot
I need
about
to send
that.
You my thanks. Evolving risk-reward, risk management
yeah,
video
thanks,
on that
thanks
one.
For that, Don.
That's a rough one.
Yeah. Oops.
Yeah, the Wi-Fi thing, I completely sort of 50 IQ missed it to some extent. Because I'm like, wow, that's a lot for a coin. And so I never touched it. It's just, you know, it's, I was talking to Don when the market was at like above 60K and, you know, there were certain continuation setups triggering and he was just like, you know, I've got TA setups along this, but it's just a lot for one Bitcoin. Okay, fair enough. Sometimes you just get that feeling that like something is either a bit too much or a bit too little. And that's, you know, if you've got the requisite experience, I know it sounds primitive, but it's not the worst way of looking at a market, you know?
What even is this chart? Like, I don't understand. Usually you see some kind of pattern or trend or something.
All Andre charts look a bit like that, don't they?
Yeah.
What else was there? There was, I'm forgetting now.
None of the others are layer one. On my list.
Phantom? FTM? Yeah.
Phantom.
They certainly leave a lot to be desired.
I recently accidentally...
You got it there in the middle, FTM, yeah. US.
I accidentally sorted my watch list by alphabetical order, and that pained me because I kind of had memorized where things were. But it turns out alphabetical order is a reasonable thing to do. You could actually find things.
It actually makes a lot of sense. But there used to be, I mean, I still remember TradingView actually DM'd me one day and was like, hey, what do you want to be changed?
And
I
an undo button.
And I told them, like, could you make it so that you can undo, like, when you click on alphabetic order or whatever? And they actually did it. I don't remember how to do it. I don't remember if they, like, deleted the feature after because I have, like, pressed on it. But there should be a way to undo when you press on it. So, because I asked them for it and they actually delivered. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. I just don't know how. If you click to sort by symbol, it'll put it in that order. But what I needed was like a please let me undo that because I have like I would put like you know Dixie, BTC, ETH, all that kind of stuff at the top. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. Cred, are there any charts that you like? What do you have here? XRP?
Not stuff? Really. I was looking at XRP because Don was slinging it around. But honestly, not really. I want Bitcoin to get out of this range. I still think the most straightforward bit of TA. I mean, this is like a decent reaction or whatever, but I still think if you want to 50 IQ it in a positive way, you're like, why are we below? Why is 20K resistance, right? Like this, even this rally, look where it topped. It was right at the cycle high. Stop it. Get some help, you know? And I think the market just starts to look a lot better above 20K, which is a depressing sentence to say. And then, you know, if you want to extrapolate to the weekly and take the Don momentum trade above like 20.9 or whatever, all of that is fine. But consistently trading below previous cycles high and underperforming large risk indices while doing so is not great. Similar consideration applies for ETH. You know, you could actually start to carve out a pretty reasonable case that this is some sort of lower high structure, right, being built. And I think Don was talking about that for some time. But still, if you add on where that previous cycle kind of 1400 level comes in, same consideration, right? It's at kind of 1400s basically. And that's your pretty much the best daily and weekly level on the chart. If you get above that, you can start making case that, hey, you know, this churn held 1200, which is nice. And also then ended up trading back at my previous cycle's high. Maybe now that level is going to do its job again. And we trade closer towards this type of consolidation. But if you want to kind of, yeah, as I said, the most simplistic or base level TA is if the market's going to be bid here, there should be buyers at / below the previous cycle's highs because that's supposed to be a discount. And if you want that to, if you want further evidence of that on the chart, those levels should act more as support than as resistance. The past few weeks, they've been acting as resistance. If that shifts, we can sort of say, hey, maybe we get to trade a rotation for once. I mean, you know, again, as we talked about last week, the range on ETH is between 1200 and 1400. So, you know, and we've been here for a while, so I'm probably not going to fade whichever way that breaks anytime soon. Hopefully it breaks soon, but you know, whichever way it decides, I don't want to step in front of that until it either fails or I get a really good setup. And broadly speaking, similar consideration for BTC. If you get a vol expansion, which also results in like, you know, the first higher high in some time, and that takes place above cycles high, then I can be like, okay, finally market structure shifted, something's happening, the levels that should be support, you know, we're above them and so on and so forth, and I can finally have a directional bias that I can act on. But that's sort of not available at the moment. And as I said, I think a lot of my general weight is going to go towards equities and risk indices specifically, given how technical they've been. And this isn't generating any signals quite yet because it's playing ping pong between levels. As I said at the beginning of the show, if I get like pattern failure or just, you know, some sort of move back inside the range for a change instead of just, oh, that rhymes, instead of just like breakdown, retest, etc., then that kind of confluence might be quite nice, right? Like imagine we're looking at a market where you have a failed breakdown in risk indices and BTC and ETH flip their, you know, finally break out and flip their previous cycles levels from intra-week resistance to support or just break out above them. Now you're cooking with gas or whatever the idiom is, right? But I'm still patiently waiting for that. And that's, you know, in the hope section more so than what's in front of us right now.
There's a couple of interesting comments. One, Bun says, this shows the state of where we are when the live stream is just finding the worst charts and collectively laughing at them, which fair enough. but like, I think it's probably still justified for most. Stan above said, H bar USD might have found the bottom. I think it kind of brings up an interesting contrast just in the sense of you can look at something and we can also collectively laugh at this chart. And at the same time, yeah, it might go up, but has it found the bottom? I don't know. Like, statistically, I would guess not, if the market has not found the bottom. So the majors really need to guide you in terms of, has HBAR or whatever your favorite coin is found the bottom? Well, have the majors found the bottom? We're not sure. If we can get a decent view on that, then we can get a better view on some of these things. But I can assure you that, like, not very many people care about Hedera Hashgraph relative to whatever else. Like, there's thousands of names out there that somebody cares about the most. And what I tend to see is, you know, this is down 86% or 90% maybe off the top. And what we have seen previously is in an extended move, this thing could do multiples, to your point. Like, it could go from a bottom of 4 or 5 cents to 10, 15, who knows? Like, it could really move in a low liquid environment and whatever else. But we've seen time and time again that these tend to go down 95, maybe even more, oftentimes 98, 99, 99.5, 99.9, you know, type percent. And we haven't gotten there yet on that many coins, especially like big, well-funded coins and whatnot. So if these are bottoms, they're the lowest bottoms that we've really seen in altcoins in multiple cycles. So what do y'all think the odds are in that regard, like that you can be accumulating, if you will, your favorite coins and that you'll appreciate those accumulations later?
I mean, I think if you buy like 10 coins at this price level, and I mean, it depends, obviously, like you said, if this is the bottom for crypto, right, everything's going to go up most likely and you're going to be able to sell higher. But I think in general, like if you buy, like, let's say 10 coins pretty far down the list, at least 9 of them are going to go to zero. In my, like,
yeah, so your risk reward's still not very good in that regard.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have, if you want to buy something at this kind of stage of the market, you have to have like potential for it to 100x. Otherwise, you're just going to be like wasting your time. Because if you just, it depends, obviously, if you have like a really good trade setup with a defined stop and enough liquidity to get in or out. I mean, it's one thing. But just investment wise, the thing is, every single cycle, a lot of the coins that we trade just disappear. And this one will not be different. So you're going to have to pick really well. If you're really, really good at doing research, kind of figuring out, okay, is this code good? Is this code not so good? Is this kind of something that will be used? Is it not? Is this something that makes sense narrative-wise? All of that kind of stuff. If you're really, really good at it, I mean, be my guest and pick, right? But I see a lot of people that are not trying to pick anyway, and that usually ends in disaster. I've seen so many coins, so many projects that on the surface kind of look okay, go to zero. But I mean, that's just in general, even if you completely ignore that this is just code that you can fork, and just kind of make your own, even in the traditional work with startups, a lot of these go to zero, right? And this is legitimately just fork coin, like fork code at the end of the day, right? A lot of these coins are just copy pasta from something else.
Yeah. So I don't, you know, we don't have to do example after example, but it makes me think of Neo. Neo has a whole chart behind here that you can't see because this is when it was listed on Binance, but this was roughly the high in January. $177, went down a ton, recovered, and at the peak of this cycle, it almost got back to those highs. You know, and that might happen in some of these, but there's going to be other stuff with new narratives and yada yada that do multiples on top of that, like perform significantly better overall. And your question for yourself, especially if you're holding from that all-time high, is like, is this where you want to be? Is this the community that you want to stand behind because you believe in it so strongly? Or is this coin just going to have an echo pump of sorts of like, oh, what's some ancient coin that pumped and my Solana already ran? So what's going to happen with this? Because if you look at the timing on this, you know, I don't know where it was cyclically or whatever else, but you probably lived through a lot of pain while ETH was already moving multiples off its bottom, mm-hmm. or Bitcoin was moving multiples off its bottom, or some new coin was moving multiples off its bottom, and you're still in desperate pain from previous cycle lows. So you have to consider that in your emotions. And generally, it's really hard if you get attached to one of these coins, because if you stay attached and you refuse to allow yourself to embrace whatever else is out there, whatever else is new, as your narrative fails throughout the bear market, it's just going to feel painful.
Yeah. I mean, just look at the Bitcoin pair on NEO, for example. I have it open to kind of make that point for you, right? This thing is in a massive downtrend, and NEO is one that pumped enormously in 2017. It was kind of like the big promise child. Like, everyone was like into this, and you had a lot of funding too. And it's been down only. This is against Bitcoin, right? This is down, I mean, I'm guessing like 90%, like 97, 95, something. Yeah, 90, ouch. Like almost 99% against Bitcoin at the lows, right? So, I mean, that's basically, I mean, that almost went to zero. And it's not really that far off of it from like at this standpoint, even though it's bounced a little. And this is not the worst offender, right? You can go through the list. You can go, and this is like one of the reasons
why NEO is like still a super Chad coin.
You know, like, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's the same story. Look at this. This is like 98%. And if you kind of stick with these coins cycle through cycle, if you don't, like, there's 100 coins and then there's one ETH, right? Because ETH stuck through the cycles and kind of outperformed. But there's 100 other coins that look exactly like this that go down 99%.
Yeah, and we showed NEO. There was IOTA and Strat and Sia coin, and I don't know. There was tons of them.
Library game.
Yeah.
ICX, QNT, Patientory. Yeah.
Tons.
They will come back. But also, if they like didn't come back in 2021, they're not coming back. Do you know what I mean?
That's exactly the thing.
I mean, I'll go find out what are the people that led those coins. What are they doing now? Like, if, you know, are they working on them?
They're probably living on an island. I mean, that's what I'm guessing anyway.
They've made out like bandits. I don't think so. Yeah. I think most of them go down with the ship, honestly.
I think, I mean, even if you go down with the ship, right, if you get 100 million and then you lose like 95% of it, I mean, okay, that's pretty shit, honestly. But I mean, they're not going to, I don't think they go down with the ship that badly. Like, you have 100 million and then it goes like 80% down, you're going to stick and like pull your 20 million out or whatever. I think a lot of those people will have done that. I think in general, the only people that are really wrecked in these projects are the delusion kind of, delusional backholders that just kind of stick with it. And
yeah,
Trent really made a really, really good point, honestly, because if your coin didn't run or like didn't make new all-time highs during the biggest speculative bubble in, I mean, at least memorable history, it's probably not going to run in general. That's just how it is. Like, that is the perfect setup and was the perfect setup for everything to go giga ballistic. If your coin didn't, I mean, it's probably just because it's shit.
Sean said a counter to what Ledger's saying would be DeFi coins that are still building. If you're able to research in this area, you could catch the next cycles of SNX, Link, whatever. Okay, so one caveat is, let's say after the 2014 market, Bitcoin survived basically nothing else. After the 2017 market, Bitcoin and ETH survived, a couple other coins survived, kept building, whatever, performed decently, have sticky, you know, stickiness. Maybe it's 1%. Maybe this time, you know, a few more stick around, right? But the 97%, 98%, 99% of the stuff that came out will not. Like, they'll fail. They'll go away. But we will, as these cycles continue, get more and more that do have some kind of staying power as you find some product market fit. And I do think in the 2021 cycle, we have industries and stuff that found product market fit. Whether those protocols are the ones that maintain it, I'm not totally sure, or if they have token value that continues to accrue, I'm not totally sure. ZRX is a good example, coin I like, team I like, et cetera, whatever. The coin did not perform well, even though the product market fit for ZRX in DeFi was fantastic. So what will we see with Uniswap or ENS or whatever, Curve? Will we see token value accrual to go alongside product market fit from a protocol level perspective? I'm not sure. But those are the like actual, you know, blue chips from a code perspective, team perspective, all those things, we even still, we don't know what it means from a token perspective.
Yeah. Totally agree with that. And I mean, I'm just scrolling through my list. I'm just looking at this stuff.
Bitcoin Cash.
Oh, beautiful.
I think Roger Ver, 9%. That's relative to Bitcoin too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's how it usually goes, right? Like in the bull, you know, the bull market tides more or less lift everything. And if you're holding stuff from previous cycles, you might feel like you're doing quite well because it's up quite a lot in USD terms. But a lot of the time, if you compare it to BTC or ETH, you're not doing as well as you thought. And then if you compare it to whatever that new cycle shiny thing is, then you're vastly, vastly underperforming, right? There's like a very meaningful distinction between will my coins come back and will my coins do well relative to whatever the new cycle's narrative is. And there can be a big gap between those two things, you know? So that's
what's crazy is we're already seeing some of these new names appear, you know, like Aptos is one. I don't know much about it, but I've heard good things.
It's another layer one. We're doing the casino again, Ledger. And it's all the same investors again. And yeah, I don't know, man.
I'm not saying it's going to work as well. I'm just saying like, you're already seeing some of the names pop up. Like
the seeds are being planted. It doesn't have a higher valuation than Uniswap or something like that. I saw either Aptos or Sui, whatever, have a higher valuation than
Sui
Uniswap.
Sui was the other one. I didn't even remember.
Yeah, and there's like not a single transaction done on them or whatever. It's madness. And it's all the same names. You know, don't want to name them, but yeah. The playbook hasn't changed, right? And the whole Ethereum killer, new shiny layer one, liquidity mining incentives to get people to build DEXs and get developers and so on and so forth, you know, we're going to run it again. I saw this funny interaction being like, oh, what's the difference between sort of Aptos, Sui, Solana, etc.? And Altcoin Psycho replied, a fresh chart. And I just thought that was brilliant and very on the nose, but, you know, jokes aside, that is actually quite a big deal, right? As to why the new cycle's shiny performers do so well. It's because there isn't that pessimism. There isn't that kind of bag holding. There isn't that previous jaded market cycle participants selling on lower highs. You don't have the unlocks to the same extent. You know, its future is bright and in front of it, even though it tends to end very much the same way.
Well, since we've been talking, the Dixie's down another 0.25% to 1% on the day and making the lows. So Maybe for once we can manifest a bottom.
Yeah. Our track record hasn't been great for that. We just come on the show and talk shit, being like, oh, this looks so terrible. And there's always one person being like, oh, lol, yes, keep being bearish, give me my fills. And then they disappear for next week's episode, which is always very curious. But yeah, maybe this is the time. I just welcome any volatility at this point. I mean, the market's kind of pointing towards it as far as historical levels of vol and, you know, past performance doesn't indicate future results and everything. But maybe big week, big move, whatever. I just want to move out of this range so at least it becomes tradable somewhat and get some new price levels and see whoever's left behind and so on and so forth. But this, you know, continued stagnancy and 19K and keep using 20K as resistance just isn't fun. The max pain scenario would, of course, be me consistently being like, oh, well, the more the level gets tested, the weaker it is. We've been here too many times and I don't want to trade it. And then we go from here to 30K and everyone's like, oh, lol, you were saying the level's weaker. It caused the biggest bounce ever. That would definitely have me muting Twitter for a while. but yeah, get me out of here pretty much. And I still think the argument made last week is very much applicable also, that the longer we spend here, the more it kind of looks like a crappier version of 6K. Right, you've just got lower highs and some sort of descending triangle thing, depending on how you draw a building, while support isn't generating visible higher lows and it's just kind of moving sideways. So I just want to get out of here, man. Get out of here. If you want to move down, do it. If you want to rip up, do it. But just give me something to work with. You know,
and for what it's worth, 6K back then was still 6K even after it bumped to 9K. You know, so like this, this could still be a level of a magnet level, even if there's a move temporarily to like 30K. It's just, what's the appetite beyond that? We don't know. Depends on everything else. Or we could just be, you know, bringing about the forever bottom and everybody was too whatever. To me, I think we're setting the stage for some kind of squeeze. Craig, I believe you mentioned earlier the speculative put buying. Not that it has to be wrong, like maybe people are right that are buying all those puts, but combined with some of these levels that we've talked about in Legacy, combined with maybe the Dixie's going to calm down a little bit, some of that happens and maybe you get a little relief rally into the end of the year. Does it last very long? I don't know. That's not quite sticking for me yet, but I think that's possible for sure. Not going to discount it by any means.
Mm-hmm. And that is might there macro be... FUD on the radar, by the way, Ledger? I know it's like sort of... I saw Deutsche Bank put out their earnings predictions.
For I didn't see that. Was it really bad?
Yeah, it's really bad. It's sort of a lot worse than before, unsurprisingly. They've kind of got that looming over us. And then FOMC is at some point recently.
Well, I know,
it's October, right?
Inflation's still quite high. You know, it's not being overly tamed. So a lot of people just saying like, hey, you have to get the rates above the rate of inflation, and we're not there yet, so can't be done yet, basically, which is a painful thought. Does it leave a window open for a soft landing? Don't know. Another concept would be, we really haven't seen it in earnings yet, at least not severely. It's been more of relative to expectations, or multiples themselves in stocks are correcting. But what happens when the multiples corrected to a tolerable level, but then the earnings disappear? Will the multiples have to disappear again? We have the warning sirens in the background here.
You've said too much. They're coming after you.
They're coming after me. I think that's if you go full on recession, if you fail at the soft landing, obviously there's huge downside potential still. But there's, I think there's room for a relief rally. Calling it anything more than a relief rally, I think, is optimistic at best.
Yeah, same kind of stance for me. But yeah. I'm not really even ready to play anything on the relief side of things until, like Fred said, we see at least some speck of, okay, this is actually a market that wants to go up. Because right now it seems like this is a market that wants to trade at 19,400. That's how the market.
We found fair value. We sold Bitcoin, guys.
this is not. You don't want to be trading when it's just found its fair value and it's just being going sideways. And I honestly think, like, with the put and like in general, like with all the option trading that's going on, like even if this just goes sideways, not only crypto but also the S&P, you're gonna see a lot of pain, right? Because a bunch of people are just kind of speculating on a lot of volatility or a lot of up or a lot of downside. And if you just keep on going sideways. And do you guys remember
I love
this?
That chart, yeah.
When I said, like, the first time we hit here, I was like, I could see this go sideways in here for like weeks and weeks and weeks. And we're like, oh, this is Max Payne. I mean, fucking hell, this is exactly what it's doing. So maybe get more of that, honestly. I don't know. I don't want to be the guy that kind of calls wolf, basically, every time we get like a 1% move or down, 1% up move or down move. So just expect
that's the weekly
sideways
range. Don't be rude.
The weekly range, like $200, fucking horrendous. And if that doesn't remind you of like 2018 and the way we traded before, basically the 6K breakdown, I don't know what will, right? Like, you look at this. And I mean, this is obviously a more extreme version of what we're going through, but I still remember this very clearly because it's very, very painful, right? When stuff goes sideways, if you buy the low and buy the low of the day and then sell the high of the day and you lose money in fees, that kind of volatility, obviously the worst for any trader. And currently, like, what we're doing is reminding me of that just on a higher time frame.
So. We have talked for 6 minutes longer than we normally do. We should probably let it go. But do y'all have any closing statements, Cred? Don, I'll treat that as yours.
I'm just wondering how many episodes we could do at the same price while filling an hour of airtime. We're getting really good at it. So maybe just for content's sake, we could get out of here. But yeah, my closing statement or whatever is that the market seems very balanced and volatility is compressing. And those two things for like trading aren't great. So you want to see a shift in those conditions one way or another, like actually a break from balance or attempted break from balance that fails or something like that. Some sort of impetus for of momentum or volatility or just the market moving. I think if you wait for that, you'll be fine and it'll be like heaven to trade in comparison to this. In the absence of that, at least from a trading point of view, it's far less attractive. As far as investor mindset type of goes, if you have like a multi-year crypto thesis, I mean, anything below the 2017 all-time highs is like a good price considering the volatility. It's just about what happens in between. And given we're a weekly show of traders, we spend a lot of time thinking about what happens in between. So kind of worth separating the two to some extent. But yeah, we are filibusting week after week, as Level 2 Data says in the comments, and we're getting good at it. So make our job easier, please.
Yeah. If you make me pick, I'd say we go up for a week or two here, a little bit of relief, and then end up right back in the same range. And I don't know. Part of me thinks end of year might see some capitulation and see some opportunities for real bottoms, which, for better or worse. That said, that's all I got. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Sticking with us for a longer show than normal. Don't know how we actually managed to do that. But we did. Got talent. And we appreciate you being along the way. Go to weeklyliving.com/FTX. Check them out. Partners over at FTX. If you're wanting to trade this chop, you can do it at FTX. Once again, weeklyliving.com/FTX. weeklyliving.com. Check the episodes. Hit like and subscribe and all that good stuff. We appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.